welcome to episode 3 of the Peer Geek podcast. Now, before we move on, I'm very, very thrilled to be able to continue to record these and bring them to you on a weekly basis. And that's definitely going to be the hope going forward, a weekly podcast, short and sharp, that brings together a few ideas that maybe you can try in your classroom. Now, at this stage, I'm really, really thankful for the people that have tuned in, and I'm particularly excited about the episodes going forward and some of the guests that we have lined up to come on and share with you guys. And I'm incredibly humbled by the people that have been online and left reviews and shared the podcast with others. So thank you for that, and I truly, truly mean it. Now, when I actually think about the word the PE geek, you know, this for me, it's a word that I get referred to more so these days than my own name. So it's quite interesting how these things sort of come about. But, you know, I think right back to the very first use of that word, and a lot of people don't know the background story, but essentially there was a PE class that I was teaching, a year 11 class, and students were involved in creating a blog. Now, at this stage, Web 2.0 was massive. It was absolutely huge, and blogging was really, really, you know, really, really something that people were trying to incorporate into their classes. And for me, it was, you know, I was setting up this blog task and hoping that the kids were going to jump on board and get into it, and they absolutely did. But in that initial setup, it was such a foreign thing to be setting up a blog, and, you know, especially in a PE class. And a student of mine, tongue in cheek, you know, the sort of student that you have in your class that is capable of giving you a little bit of a ribbing, said to me, "You're just nothing but a PE geek." And I absolutely thought, well, that's 100% true. And I'm going to actually name my blog the PE geek. And from that day on, I went and attached the PE geek to my WordPress blog, which I'd started maybe a month before. So, you know, you flash forward to now, and, you know, I have a podcast called the PE geek, and I've got my blog called the PE geek, and a few other things floating around. And it's really interesting that it actually started from a conversation I had with a student in a classroom. Now, one of the products I'm really excited about at the moment is a product that's really big in just everyday activity, and that is a GoPro. Now, the idea sort of floated around recently that if you used a GoPro in PE, there'd be a lot of potential for it to be quite useful. So basically, the way in which we've, the way in which I've been utilizing the GoPro has been within the practical classes that I am currently teaching. Now, in our senior physical education curriculum, there is a particular component that is very heavy on teaching students about game sense and tactical awareness, and developing an understanding of, you know, perfect decision making and all those sorts of things in phys ed. So the GoPro, in my mind, is the perfect particular use for this. Now, you know, whenever we're involved in teaching a particular game and trying to teach the strategy that goes around it, we often spend our observation time from the sidelines. Now, we know that that's a very different view to what would obviously be taking place inside of the game itself. Now, the really exciting thing about the new GoPro Heroes is that they actually have a wireless Wi-Fi component to the actual camera. And what that allows them to do is broadcast their own wireless signal. So, for example, you can get the GoPro, you can connect it to someone with a head mount and put them inside the game of play, and just have them play the game like they normally would. However, whatever decisions they're making are obviously going to be recorded, and they're going to be, it's going to look like we're seeing the game through their eyes. However, because of the wireless possibilities that exist with the GoPro, if you download the GoPro app on your iPad or iPhone, etc., then you can actually wirelessly view with a short delay the video that's coming from that GoPro. So as a coach or as a teacher teaching these game sense strategies, decision-making tactics, etc., you could have a student involved in play. They could be standing off to the side. The teacher or a group of students could be looking at the footage from both the side-on perspective, the traditional coaching perspective, and from also the in-game perspective of the person who's actually participating. Now, just think about how incredible that would be for the type of teaching that you would be trying to replicate and trying to affect. And that's particularly awesome. You know, if you could take it the next level, and if you, let's say, had your iPod or your iPad being projected up onto a big screen, then, you know, at a glance, you could stop the game. And because there is a slight delay, people could actually glance up and maybe they could actually see some of the things that, from the person's perspective inside of the game. Now, that for me is absolutely awesome. Absolutely the reason that I went out and purchased my GoPro. And if you're interested in grabbing one, they are quite affordable. If you're looking at getting a camera that is available to be used in the action, then visit the peergeek.com/GoPro and you'll see the actual model that I have available on Amazon. So really, really useful and looking forward to taking that use to a different level. Obviously, mostly applied to game sense and understanding. Now, as always, there are apps galore that have so many uses in the PE classroom. And in the last couple of episodes, I've been picking some apps that maybe were a little bit less known. However, some of these apps that I'm about to share with you here today aren't exactly not known, but maybe they're a little bit older. And for some people, they may not have experienced them. But they actually feature as part of the Connected PE workshops that I've been running in this last year. And for many reasons, they are really simple but valuable tools. So the first one is called Workout Trainer. Now, this particular app I've used extensively myself, to work off those Christmas kilos, etc. But Workout Trainer is an iPad and iPhone app, and it's developed by the guys at Skimble. And if you actually get involved and download the app, you'll find that there are literally, no joke, there are thousands of workouts that you can navigate through and click on, and they basically give you how long the workout's going to be. They give you the type of activities that it's going to complete and the intensity range and so on. And if you click into the workout, you can actually see a breakdown of the different activities that are included in that particular workout. Now, I've often been, in the last sort of 6 months or so, I've been making sure that we do some sort of iPad-aided workout in our junior PE classes. And just the other day, we did the Cardio Max workout inside of Workout Trainer. And it was a combination of, jumping jacks and, all those sort of activities that are, that we get started with when we warm up. And it's really, really good because not only does it mean that I have the freedom and flexibility to participate and model that sort of behavior that some of the younger kids look up to, but it also means that there's someone there who is absolutely much more competent than myself at taking those type of activities. And they also deal with the time of each of the activities. They integrate the rest periods, and the kids can clearly see a model of what they actually need to do. And it also means that because they're teaching the instruction, then I can actually be glancing around the room and I can be supplementing that instruction in a more personalized approach. So Workout Trainer is awesome. And even if you don't use it in your class, I recommend going and downloading it and using it on your own. It works perfectly in an environment where you may only have one iPad. that's definitely the case. So, you know, connect it to a projector and run a workout and the kids will be engaged. But I have used it in situations where the kids have taken the app away, picked a workout that suited what they felt they needed, and gone through it at their own accord, sort of self-paced and independent. Now, the next app that I am really, really fond of, and it's in its heart, it's so simple, is Time Motion. And this particular app has been developed by Dr. Grant Apt, who is a Australian exercise scientist who actually is Dr. Grant Apt and teaches and lectures over in the UK. Now, he designed the iPhone app as a means of getting data about people's intensity at which they were operating. So if you have a think about, you know, you've got students in your class that when you're involved in gameplay, they probably spend a small percentage of time actually involved in the gameplay, or they may spend most of the time standing in the corner and maybe not engaging as much as others. So what this app also allows you to do is actually get some quantifiable data about how much time people spend in different locomotion modes. So at the very bottom of the app, you've got these buttons that say stand, walk, jog, fast run, and sprint. Now, essentially, while you're observing a game or while a game is in action, you watch one particular person and you tap the button associated with what they're doing at that time. And as long as you keep doing that, at the end of the observation period, you're going to have a percentage of time spent doing each of those different activities. So for us in our Year 12 physical education, it gives us a chance to look at it and say, well, you know, energy system contribution to that performance, you know, we can sort of determine what would have been the most dominant system. But from the perspective of a student who you're trying to engage or trying to understand about their performance, it gives you some data that you can base it on. So you could say to a kid that, you know, they really spent 49% of their time standing, and, you know, we're look and then try and start to think of ways that you might be able to engage them and improve that performance. And if you did a before and after assessment, you'd actually have some really strong evidence to suggest that the methods that you introduced have improved their engagement in your PE class. So really useful. I think probably the most used method is exactly that in my PE classes, but not myself doing the assessment. You know, I hand it off to a student that might be injured or that can't participate for a particular session. Or if, for example, you're doing a round robin style activity and students are involved, you know, are actually sitting off at that particular stage, waiting for their turn. These are the sort of activities that you can give them to keep them engaged in the unit and add value to your class. So absolutely, Time Motion is one that students can sort of stay involved in and give some sort of valuable data to the students that are participating. And finally, the app that I used the other day, so it made me remember it, is called Burst Mode. Now, Burst Mode is a very, very simple tool that basically takes 100 photos at the push of a button. Another similar app is called Fast Camera. And basically all they do is you set up your phone or your iPad in the right position, you press the button, and it just takes 100 sequential images. And essentially what you got then is a frame-by-frame processing, so you can, you know, work through it frame by frame and identify the particular image that you're looking to highlight. Now, we were using this just the other day when students were doing some long jump and triple jump practice for the upcoming sports, and it just basically meant that they could stand there, they could do the activity and then come through, and we could focus on just the one thing we wanted to see, which was the foot takeoff on the board. So, you know, sure, we could use some other video analysis apps, which are a little bit more feature-rich, but for one particular use, which is identifying a frame of a particular importance, Burst Mode is really awesome. And aside from that, if you've got family photos and you're struggling to get pictures of people where everyone is smiling, then, you know, maybe you line up your family and hit burst mode, and hopefully somewhere in there you're going to have a perfect family photo where everyone is looking at the camera, not blinking, and you can put that one on in your Christmas postcard. So that is the three apps that I have been using recently, and I definitely think they've got value. So hopefully you can find some uses for them yourself. Now, one of the really exciting things about the online PE community, particularly that on Twitter, is there are so many teachers out there that are sharing absolutely excellent resources, engaging in the most detailed discussions about everything you can possibly imagine, from portfolios right up to the uses of technology and the best ways to engage the learners that don't want to be in your session. So, you know, the conversation that happens in these online spaces is incredible, and the teachers that are involved in them also are incredible themselves. So picking out one particular teacher is going to be absolutely very easy to do. And this particular week, I've picked out a person who emails me regularly, and, you know, I email them back regularly, and we're always engaged in a conversation that's happening both on Twitter and off Twitter. And this particular person is Mel Hamada. And the reason I've put her in is because she's someone that doesn't just sit there and wait for something to happen. She actually gets out and makes it happen for herself. So, you know, I speak to a lot of people about app development, and she's actually one of the people that has gone ahead and jumped right into it and put in all of her enthusiasm and her ideas into some really, really innovative and exciting products for teachers. So yeah, she's definitely a person you want to have on your team if you've got any sort of collaborative efforts, and because you know you're guaranteed to get really good results with her on your side. So if you're interested in speaking with her, she's available on Twitter, and you can find her at twitter.com/MJHamada, Hamada, and she will be more than happy to share any sort of resources you like. She works in the international school sector, so if you're interested in that, she's definitely someone great to speak with. So that basically brings us to the end of episode 3. Now, I just can't believe how quick these episodes are turning over. 3 weeks has gone down already, and we'll be on to our 4th episode very, very soon. I'm hopeful to line up a few interviews with some people going forward, and I look forward to sharing those with you. So as always, if you have a need to track down the notes and things that we spoke about in this particular episode, you can visit thepegeek.com/episode3. At that stage, you'll find all of the hyperlinks that make it easy for you to actually go and click on the links, because obviously it's a little bit harder to click on spoken word in a podcast. So that's where you'll find those particular things. Also, we have launched just recently a membership side of the PE Geek blog. Now, the membership side is available at thepegeek.com/members. And at that particular membership site, you can sign up and you get access to a whole host of features. So, you know, one of the features is that you get 2 free iPhone, iPad apps from our lineup every single month. You also get access to an exclusive mobile app called PE Apps, which is no longer involved or no longer on the App Store. Was a very big hit for many years and has been updated, but never made it to the store. And PE Geek members will actually get that application. And finally, there is also access to exclusive products, monthly newsletters, and so on. So it's designed for people that want to get that little bit more from the blog itself. I've sort of floated around in years trying to work out what the optimum number is of blog posts that I can sort of put out without sort of annoying people's inboxes and emails. And I found that's about 1 a week. If you do any more than that, then maybe people start to maybe not read them. So the membership site is for those people that want as much as possible from the experience, and they can go and do that by visiting thepegeek.com/members. So that pretty much brings us to the end of episode 3 of the podcast. And again, I thank you heaps for tuning in, and hopefully you've got a few ideas that you can really take away and apply and use and seek value from. And if that's the case, then I'd love to hear about it. So get in touch with me, leave a review on iTunes, and I look forward to seeing you again in episode 4. See you later.